Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
My subject today is entitled A Kingdom Approach to the Father. And we are going to stay more in the book of Luke chapter 18 and then verse 1. It says, then he spake a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart or not to faint. Hallelujah. So I want us to know where Jesus Christ is getting to. He wants us to do what? To pray and not to lose heart. Because it is easy for you to lose heart as far as prayer is concerned. It is easy for people to say that, well, prayer does not work. Or we have prayed, we are not seeing anything. And so you lose heart in prayer. So this is Jesus' direction. Because of that, he paints the worst case that anybody on earth can have. He paints a picture in that parable of a certain widow. A widow in those days has nobody to rely upon. But this widow had an inheritance. This inheritance was something that she enjoyed. But obviously she lost it. And because she didn't have anybody around her to help her, she became desperate. So she went to a certain judge in the city. Now this judge apparently was the only person who could help the widow to get back her inheritance that she had lost. But this judge was a funny one, because the Bible describes him that he didn't fear God. This is the only option this widow had. No relatives to help her get inheritance restored. And the only person who could help her didn't fear God. As if that is not enough, the judge didn't regard man, didn't respect human beings. So imagine that. Very difficult situation anybody on earth can get into. Is a situation like that possible for us to submit to God in prayer? Yes, it is possible. Because sometimes in our lives, we have got situations where we don't have any man. It is as if we cannot do it ourselves. The best we can do is maybe to pray as Jesus wants us to. But you look at yourself and you see that this situation that must be corrected, this inheritance that I've lost, that should come back to me. There is nobody who can do it except maybe one person. The unfortunate thing is that this one person or the people who can do it, they don't respect you. If they respect you, fair enough. But if they look down their nose at you, if they think you are nothing, if they think that you should struggle, if they think that you should always be the way that you are, then your situation is very bad. They don't respect human beings. And in our lives right now, you can point to people that you look around in this world and you see that they don't respect you. They respect you, but they don't respect you. When I say that, you must understand. There is an extent that they want to go with you, but to a certain extent, they think that you don't deserve it. Or it shouldn't come to you. You shouldn't have that inheritance. What a difficult situation that we can have sometimes in our lives. Jesus is trying to encourage us that there is no situation on this earth that must make us lose heart in prayer. So when we have a situation where some people must do something for things to be, because in this world, God uses human beings to get things done on this earth. You can have situations in your life where you see that the people who must help you don't fear God. If you go and you say you are a Christian, you have worse situation. Because they feel that Christians are people who engage in hate speeches. They are people who look down on other people, you know. So when you go brandishing your Christianity, it doesn't mean anything to them. So how will the situations that we have, difficult situations, be solved? Maybe you are listening to me, your situation is not as difficult as Jesus painted. But the understanding Jesus has is that men should always pray and never to lose heart in the art of prayer. The Bible says at the end of the parable that this unjust judge said that, although I don't fear God, although I don't respect human beings, yet because I don't want to be worried, I'm going to do for this widow what she wants. God is able to use even the selfishness of other people, like the selfishness of this unjust judge, to answer your prayer. God is able to use even the depravity of the depraved to answer your prayer. God is able to use even the works of the devil, which may be rife around you, to answer your prayer. So you should always pray and never to lose heart in prayer. But Jesus concluded in verse number 8 that I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, when he comes into your situation, which you think is a very difficult situation, he is looking for something. He is looking for faith. Can we all say faith? What kind of faith is he looking for? That is what I want to teach us. Because God wants us to have a certain approach to our Heavenly Father, a certain faith that we need to have. So look at verse number 9 of Luke 18. It's a continuation. Also, he spake this parable to some who trusted, underline trusted, in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So he gives a parable about some two people who went to God in prayer. One trusted in himself that he was good, that he was righteous, that he was better than the other person. And ladies and gentlemen, when we come to God, we can also fall into this temptation when we approach our Heavenly Father to behave in one of two ways. The first way is for us to wield our good works before him. And the second way is to wield the good works of our dearest Jesus before him. Hallelujah. I want us to understand that as humans, we have a strong temptation to brandish our works, to trust in ourselves that we are righteous and despise others. Is it wrong to trust that you are righteous? No, it is not wrong. But when you despise other people, then you are putting a certain brand on the righteous that you have. That the righteous is by your own works. Because if you know it's all by your works, why should you look down your nose at another person who you think is not righteous? After all, your righteousness, you didn't work for it. It was gifted to you. So if you know something is gifted to you, will you even despise other people who don't have it? Because you know that yours came by grace. But the problem that people of God, sometimes the temptation they fall into when they approach God in prayer is to go in a religious manner, which this Pharisee in the second parable did. Verse 10, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Please underline with himself. He prayed with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all I possess. This is the religious approach to our Heavenly Father. I'm teaching you about a kingdom approach to our Father. The religious one is what was shown by this Pharisee. They stood for the religious order of that day. This Pharisee's demeanor and the way he postured himself is similar to the way sometimes we posture ourselves. Only that we don't use the words of the Pharisee. The Pharisee said what? He says, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. Sometimes we do that. We use thanksgiving and praises and all that to cover up a certain wrong approach to God. We use words, sometimes quotations from the Bible, sometimes tongues, to cover up a certain wrong approach to the Father. He says that, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. You see that he uses a very nice veneer, but underneath the veneer, he is what? Postulating his own words that I am good. I am a nice believer. I got born again when I was young. I never flirted with girls. I never did this thing. And even my Christian life, it's not like the other elders. It's not like the other pastors. It's not like this singer. I am very punctual. I am always praying and all that. What the Pharisee did was that he relied on his works before God. But he covered it with something biblical, something that looks spiritual, but underneath was festering something that God doesn't want us to approach him by, our own works. Why? Because when you approach God by your own works, it will always not be perfect. You are not perfect. There is no way you can brandish your works and not have it a flaw and not have a disobedience before God. So God says that don't come with that. No matter how righteous you are, when you are approaching the Father, we approach the Father not on the basis of our works, but on the basis of the works of somebody who is the perfect one, whose works please God over 100%. Hallelujah. So look at verse number 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, will not as much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Please underline, be merciful. This man, he said, Lord, be merciful to me. He was not brandishing his works. He was focusing everything on the mercies and the grace of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the kingdom approach to our Father. Because Jesus concluded and said, of these two people, with these two different attitudes, one with the religious one, but underneath, he is confident in how nice his Christian life is, how he's better than the other brother, than the other sister, because he heard that the other sister has gone to fornicate. And so she comes before God and she feels that God should answer me because I am not like that other sister. You understand that? Sometimes we use our words as a bargaining chip for God to do something. Sometimes we don't verbalize it, but underneath, we feel that we deserve something. We feel because we pray hard. We feel because we are better people. Maybe because we are pastors. We feel because of some works that we do, God should answer us or God should hear us. That is not the kingdom approach, ladies and gentlemen. The only legal basis of coming to God as a human being is the cross of Jesus. Is the works of Jesus. It's what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Hallelujah. There is nothing else that completes it. That is the kingdom approach to God. When we approach the Father, the basis of our approach is Jesus and what he did for us. Hallelujah. It's grace that is the basis of our approach. We must cover up all of our works. Because we must do the good works. We must lead a righteous life. But that is not what we brandish before the Father. Because no matter how we do the righteous works, it will not be as perfect as will attract answers from the Father. That is why he says that don't focus on your works. Focus on the works of Jesus, what he did for us. So Jesus concluded and said that, humble yourself. Bank on his grace. Bank on his mercy. Maybe there are some things, difficult situations you have prayed about. You are not seeing results. I submit to you. Let us approach the throne of our Father, the King, in a humble way. In verse number 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he may touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Jesus called them to him and said, surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, underline as a little child, will by no means enter it. Entering the kingdom means experiencing it. He says that if you don't receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you cannot experience it. You cannot experience heaven coming into your difficult prayer situation and moving things, using the sense in the world, using the darkness in the world, using the selfishness of some people who do not want you to enjoy as much as they're enjoying, before God can come into the scene and do it for you, you must be humble. Brandish the works of Jesus and not your works, because the thing about children is that they don't have any works of their own. All the children boast in is the works of their father, is the works of their mother. They will say, we have this, we have that. They didn't do it, but they bank on the works of the father.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Children have no words. It is adults who have words, because they have grown to a certain point and they feel that, look, I am a very good person. I'm very disciplined, more disciplined than my work colleagues, more disciplined than so and so. So it is adults who have the temptation of brandishing their words. But Jesus was putting down all of our works and making us to focus only on the works of Jesus and on the cross, so that when God comes around, He will find in us, He comes into your situation, He will find in you a person who has faith on this earth. In spite of how cursed this earth is, in spite of how depraved and darkness has covered the earth, when He comes around, He wants to find a certain faith. That faith is not faith in your works. That faith is not faith in what you can do. That faith is faith in the works of Jesus. What has been done is our focus. Hallelujah. So look at the very next verse. This is verse number 18. Now a certain ruler has him saying, good teacher, please underline good teacher, what shall I do, underline do, to inherit eternal life? Look at this young man who came to Jesus. He came to Jesus and he wanted to focus Jesus on his works. So he said, good teacher, what must I do? He was asking Jesus, give me something to do. I want to be able to deserve eternal life. So tell me what work I should do. What are the works that will make me get eternal life? Jesus rebuked him there and then, because he was teaching a very important lesson. He told him, there is nobody who is good. It doesn't mean that you are not good in the sense that you don't do good works. But he's talking about the perfection of goodness. That there is nobody like that except the perfect one, who is God. So over there, Jesus was refuting our dependence. Once again, the same thing he's been talking about. The way we should approach the Father, dependence on our works. Since there is nobody who is good. If you are listening to me and you think that you are good, on that basis, you inherit a blessing. This woman wanted an inheritance. Something that she had. That is why she knew it is my inheritance. Which she lost. By which human beings were making things difficult for her to assess that inheritance restored to her. Jesus was teaching, the way to get it is not how wonderful you are. So Jesus told this young man, go and do. Can we all say do? He says that what is written in the law, go and fulfill the law. You want to rely on your work, go and do the law. The young man said, I have done all that you are saying from my youth. Hey! Jesus didn't say, you are a liar, you are a liar, you are a liar. Jesus said, one thing you lack. Can we all say one thing? One thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus' response to this young man's reliance on his works, that, oh, I do all the law, my works are wonderful. Jesus said, there is only one. You have got 99 over 100, but there is only one, because you are not that perfect. There is only one left. My question to you, ladies and gentlemen, is, what did this young man lack? Oh, hallelujah. Woo!
Because what this young man lacked, oh, we have it. He said, one thing you lack, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. So my question is that, what did he lack? What he lacked was that he didn't have a treasure in heaven. So he says that, look, go and do this one, sell everything, give it to the poor, and you will have that one thing you lack, the treasure in heaven. The man went away sorrowful because he couldn't handle that. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to tell you that what that young man lacked, we have. What do we have that he didn't have? We may not be as rich as he is, but by the grace and the mercies of Almighty God, he has placed Jesus in heaven, who is our treasure. Says that you want heaven to respond to you. What is the treasure of heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, the treasure of heaven is our dearest Jesus. The Bible says that by his blood, angels even come to God and say that you have initiated us into a new agreement by the blood of the Lamb. And heaven bows down to our dearest Jesus. He is the joy of heaven. He is the joy of the earth. He is the joy of our lives. He is our best treasure. He is the one that if we have, we have everything. Says that what you need is that you must have a treasure in heaven. But the unfortunate thing about the people of God is that they brandish how they have lived a good life, and in the course of doing that, it eclipses the treasure of what Jesus has done for them, so that he is seated in heaven to help them in their prayer. Hallelujah. The guy went away sorrowful. Remember, as you say that you are more prayerful than that other person, or you are a better pastor than that other person, that you are a better person, a worker than that other person. As for you, you are not like many people. Since in this world like that. Oh Lord, I thank you. I am not like all these people. Remember, as you do that, there is a very high temptation for you to forget your treasure in heaven. Hallelujah. Because grace and works, they don't mix. You can't add Jesus and your works together. Why do you need your works together with the works of Jesus? Because his works are complete and they're not. Why should you add up? I mean, Jesus has died for us, but God, look at all these things, and you add up so that it makes your case better. I came to tell you, your treasure in heaven is enough. As I end, let me take you to the book of Luke chapter 15. In that passage of scripture, that chapter, we have three parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. We call it the prodigal son. Ladies and gentlemen, you see that there was a father who had two sons. They were all his children. One took his inheritance and went to waste it. The younger son's situation was just like this woman in Luke chapter 18, the widow. Because this guy gets his inheritance, he goes and then he wastes it. The word prodigal means a wasteful son. He goes to waste the inheritance, so he loses the inheritance. But he wants it back. So he comes to himself, and then he says that, I am going to approach my father. So it's like a believer who wants an inheritance he has lost, food to eat, money to spend, I mean, all the blessings that we pray about to enjoy. It's just like this other person. He had it before, he has enjoyed it before, he has lost it. Now he wants to get to the father to have it restored back to him, at least so that he can eat. So he says, I will get up, I will go to my father. And when I go, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and on earth. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your highest servants. This is the dress rehearsal he did on Saturday to go and meet the father on Sunday morning. You see that? So he said, what I'm going to do is that I am going to switch my sonship for a servant. I am not worthy that I should be a son. Just make me a servant. What does a servant do? A servant is a servant because the servant must work. So he says, I no more want to receive things by inheritance. By grace, give me my inheritance. No. I want to go and brandish. You let me work. As I work with the servants, I rely on my own works. Then I can eat. The father was waiting for this guy. He saw him afar off as he was approaching. And he ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the guy began to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and on earth. The father did not allow him to mention the fact that I want to switch status. Before you, I want to switch from receiving by grace to receiving by works, being a servant. Let me serve. Let me work. And based upon my good works, give me something to eat. The father, who is our loving father, didn't allow him to say that statement because he has to correct him there and then. And that is what God is doing to some of you who are listening to me. He is correcting you there and then that, look, it's not your works that I look upon to give you food to eat. So what did the father do? He says, bring the best rope. He didn't let the guy go into the works. Bring the rope. Let's minister grace to him. Let his mind go back to the fact that you are a son of God and you come on the basis of have mercy on me. Oh Lord, Jesus died for me on the basis of grace. So, said, bring the best rope, bring the ring, put sandals, and the last one. He said, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us make merry. This my son was lost. He is found. So they killed the fatted calf. Do you know who the fatted calf is? He is your treasure in heaven. He was a treasure in that house. He had been fatted and fatted and fatted and ready for a day that somebody will want to brandish his rights before God, and God will say, no, let's get somebody to die for the person. Let's get the works of the person. Let's shed the blood of the fatted calf. So the happiness was going on. Look at the elder brother. He came around. He heard music and dancing. He called the servant. What is happening? Says that your brother came. You see, even all the angels, they were not happy. They said, your brother came and he. Oh, when I read that, I said, servant, look at this young man. Elder brother. The servant says, your brother has come and he has killed. They were not happy. What kind of grace? What kind of mercy is this? Ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus did for us, angels are trying to understand. They don't understand it. They don't understand grace. Says, do you know what has happened? Only the father knows. He has killed the fatted calf for this guy. And we are all chewing it. And we have to chew it. We are all enjoying it. And the young man was angry. He will not go to the house. Because he feels that, no, this grace thing is spoiling everything. It's making people do things by heart. It's not making people live well. He has gone to disgrace you. Nearly slept with prostitutes. Upon all this, you say grace. Because a fatted calf has died. Religious people who want to approach your father in a religious way, they always hate the message of grace. They always feel that you are saying the wrong thing. They always feel that you are encouraging people to sin. That's not an encouragement. God has to correct issues. Hallelujah. So the father came, and then the young man, the elder brother, said, these many years I have served you. Neither have I received anything from you. In fact, he said, I have not received even a kid, that you can kill a kid for me. But me, I obey you. I am better. You see that he's like this Pharisee and then the tax collector. Look at him. So he said, I do all that you tell me to. You tell me, what is it that you want me to do I haven't done? It's like this young rich ruler who came. Which one should I do? I said, do the law. He said, I've done everything. What is it you want me to do? You lack a treasure in heaven. You lack the fatted calf. So the father told him, look, it is proper for us to kill the fatted calf. And I like the words of the elder brother. You see, he was not having a problem with the righteous rope. He was not. His problem was not the new sandal on the feet of his brother. His problem was not the ring on his finger. His problem, he told them, look, you have killed the fatted calf for this guy. That's how religion is. They always have a problem when we brandish the cross and what Jesus Christ has done. Their problem is you people always talking about what Jesus has done, not what we have done. That's the problem. My problem as elder brother is not that you didn't say, look, you never gave me a rope or a sandal. He said, you never killed a fatted calf. Ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom approach to our Heavenly Father is for us to know that the fatted calf has been killed for us. To correct us, to correct our approach, the prodigal son's approach based upon his words. He said, no, something must be killed for him. So finally, Paul prayed in the book of Galatians. He said to the church of Galatia, in Galatians 4:19, that my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. The problem with the church of Galatia was that they were believers. They were born again. They heard the gospel of the cross. They heard the gospel of grace. But the problem is that being born again, they were now relying upon, like the Pharisee, how nice your Christian life is, brandishing it before God. And Paul said that there is a fault among you. You began well. Why are you ending in the flesh? Why are you ending in works? When you began by the grace of God. He said that when you do that, Christ is of no effect to you. So he said, my little children, I'm praying for you that Jesus will be formed in you. Because when Jesus is formed in you, you will focus on him. Some of you are listening to me. I know Jesus is in your heart, but he is not properly formed in you. So you don't see him. You don't see his works. That's my prayer for you. That believer, I pray for you that Christ will be formed in your heart. Because when he is formed in your heart, you realize that he is enough. He is okay. Now you walk your life not looking down your nose at people, but loving people all around. Because you know, whatever you have, the righteousness is a gift, gifted to you. The fatted calf, gifted to you. Treasure in heaven. We have it. We're not doing anything. He has placed his treasure there for us to rely upon. Hallelujah. This is a kingdom approach to our loving Heavenly Father. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion Offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on.